I want to talk to you about discipleship this morning. I want to talk to you about being a disciple. So if you guys need a title for this message, Discipleship 101. Rick Joyner said a very powerful thing. Dole and I were in at Morningstar a couple months ago. He said a very powerful thing. He said, if you don't become a disciple in the body of Christ, you will take the mark of the beast. If you don't become a disciple, you will take the mark of the beast. It's a very powerful statement. But I prophesy to you, a gospel of power is coming. Somehow it's went from he came to save us from our sin to he's come to save us from our trouble. I want to make it very clear, and I preached this last Monday to the young people. He didn't come to save you from your trouble. He didn't come to make your marriage right and just to get you off dope and to fix your finances and to take care of this. And he can do all that stuff. He came. Jesus came. Jesus was sent to save you from your sin. You see, you had something you couldn't fix. And I've noticed a lot of times people can get themselves out of trouble, but you can't do anything about your sin problem. I'm not that bad of a person. You still have a sin problem. You have an issue. And so he's come to save us from our sin. I think the church has gotten lost into, we got to have converts. Jesus wasn't about making converts. He was about making disciples. Please understand that. The preaching of the cross is going to become popular again. Not just in America, not just on Easter Sunday. I believe this message is going to become popular again, to where we preach the true death, burial, and resurrection, the cross. Because here's the thing, when we're kind of living those sinful lifestyles, we don't like to look at the cross. We don't like to think about the cross, and we don't like to think about our crazy lives and our sin-filled lives are the reason he got up on the cross. We don't like to look at that. But if we would look at that and embrace that, then I believe we can get out of this place of reformation. The church can come out of this place of reformation and get into to a point of revolution. I believe Jesus died on the cross. I believe Jesus come so that a revolution could take place. And I believe more than ever that we need a revolution in the body of Christ. We need a revolution in the church. And America, we need a revolution. I see posts on Facebook, people are so scared. They're so scared to the attack on Syria. They're so scared that's going to begin to fulfill Bible prophecy. It's going to happen either way. And I believe a lot of us are scared stiff to die. I believe that. Disciples aren't afraid of that. They embrace that. Look at our 12. Look at our 11 that remain. Look what they embrace. Jesus' first miracle, what was that? Turning water into wine. I like this. I wish I had come up with this on my own, but I didn't. The vessels were his disciples. They were filled with water, and that represented the word. And Jesus turned them into what? Wine. The Spirit. Discipleship 101. Becoming a disciple. It is your lot in life to become a disciple of Jesus Christ. But you have to know, just being a disciple is not about just being faithful to the house. It's not about just being faithful to the Word and to prayer. There's more to that. There's more to that than to becoming a disciple. The Greek term for disciple in the New Testament is mathetes, which means more than just a student or a learner. And that's very important. I believe in order to be a disciple, you must be teachable. You must be able to learn. I've been counseling someone, and that's what I told them. I was like, look, no matter if you're in your 60s, the old dog can still learn new tricks. I'm teachable. A disciple is a follower. Someone who adheres completely to the teachings of another. That's powerful. Someone who adheres completely to the teachings of another. Making those teachings his or her rule of life and conduct. I believe we have a real attack in the body of Christ, and I don't know whether to believe what this man or woman is saying. I don't know whether to believe that those teachings are something that I can follow. But I believe when we get back to the basics of the cross, when we get back to the basics, and I said this at the start of this, a gospel of power is coming. And when we begin to see that power start to move through our services, move through our congregations, our people, our family, then to begin to move through our nation, we're going to say, that's something I can follow. I believe Jesus taught and ministered in such a way that when the disciples heard the things that come out of his mouth, they were inspired to go to their deaths to follow what he had taught. But you got to believe in something. You got to stand for something. Just recently, I had saw a comment where someone said, you know, this book was just wrote by men and it's just changed and it's this and that. And there's no real understanding that what was penned in the book we call the Bible, these were men and women, men inspired by the Holy Spirit to pen down or to write what God had shown them. I believe the Bible to be the full counsel of God, the teaching straight from the throne room of God. I don't really get caught up, or I don't trip over the fact that, you know, a man named James or John or whoever began to write that. I don't trip up over the man equation in that. You got to stand for something. I was talking the other day with someone, and they was just like, I'm tired of being a jack of all trades. I want to be good at something. Well, this is something you can be good at. This is something you can follow. I shared in the young people meeting on Monday that something happened 2018 years ago that was significant. We have to know that. You got to watch on, look at it. Mine says Sunday, April 15th, 2018. We started counting time by something that happened over 2,000 years ago. Something significant must have happened. It's real and it's documented. So I want to give you this morning, if you will, seven stages, seven steps, or just some things that you can even gauge your own life at to say, am I a disciple? Am I a follower? Am I just a kind of a fan? Or am I just kind of hanging out? Amen. If you have your Bibles this morning, I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 4, starting with verse 18. Matthew chapter 4, starting with verse 18. Forgive me from the start. There may be just a few scriptures that are kind of long that I'm going to read, but we'll kind of get away from that. Matthew 4, verse 18. As Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he noticed two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, what did he say? Follow me. I'm in the Amplified, so if you have a device, if you want to put it on the Amplified, it would help you a little bit. But it doesn't matter what version you have. So Jesus, just out of the blue, he comes on the scene, and he walks up to two guys that really don't know anything about anything. And if we'll kind of notice, he didn't kind of go for a scribe or a Pharisee. He said, let's go to some rough cut, just average, ordinary, hard working by the sweat of their brow kind of guys. Well, that's good news for you and me. Do we have any doctors in the house? Any lawyers? Because if you're a lawyer, no, I'm just kidding. Any scholars? That's good. That's good. I think that sets you up to be a great follower of Jesus Christ. I think that sets you up to be a great disciple of Jesus Christ. He said to them, follow me. The Amplified goes on to say, as my disciples, accepting me as your master and teacher, and walking the same path of life, that I walk. And I hear people say all the time, I want that anointing Jesus had, and I want to do what Jesus had, and I really want to follow. But if you kind of look in the scriptures and see what Jesus did, I don't believe many in the church today are following Jesus the way he walked, are operating the way Jesus operated. He said this, he said, I will make you fishers of men. Hallelujah. I want y'all to know I've got a little bit of competition on the creek bank now, but I won't go into that. He's saying not really, but he's blaming it on the line. I think he's getting better. It says immediate. Somebody say immediately. Immediately. The Bible was very clear what these two men did as soon as he went to them. It says they just dropped their nets. They dropped what they were doing, and they immediately began to follow Jesus. They never had encountered him before. They knew nothing about him. Maybe they knew something about the Old Testament and maybe some prophecy, but there was something about this man. He said, hey, come follow me, and I'm going to make you fishers of men. I'm going to give you something that is really worth investing your time and your effort in. And it says they immediately. You may have heard me say this before, and I'm going to say it again this morning. How you come in to this thing, Your walk with God is going to reflect that. If you came in, if you got saved and someone said, hey, Jesus is going to fix your marriage and he's going to give you a lot of money and he's just going to give you a nice house and he's going to make it just great at work again. He's going to fix all those people that are coming against you. And, you know, it's just going to be tipped over the tulips. It's going to be pie in the sky by and by. If you came in and someone preached the gospel to you that way, you're in for a world of hurt as you continue to walk this thing out. Because it's not going to take you long before you figure out, hey, none of the stuff that joker said when I come to Jesus, none of that is coming to fruition. And so how we come in on the gospel, now, and here's another thing. If you kind of come in on this doom and gloom and everybody's going to hell and all this, you're going to find yourself in a legalistic walk with the Lord as well. And so I would like to bring some adjustment. Just think about how you got saved. What you heard, how did you come in on that? But I can promise you, number one, this is number one. I can promise you, number one, your followership is going to determine whether you become a disciple or not. Come on. They dropped everything they were doing. Or are we kind of like, you know, I still like all of this stuff over here, and I like me some Jesus over here as well. Well, I can promise you, you can't serve those two sides, and you can't serve two masters. Can't serve the world, you can't serve Jesus at the same time. I believe that we're more worldly, and I'm not just necessarily speaking about this house, because I believe we're tapping into something, but I believe there's more world in the church than there is Jesus. We have to correct that. We have to fix that problem. They dropped. Immediately they left their nets, it said, and they followed him. The Amplified says, becoming his disciples, believing and trusting in him, and following his example. It says, and going on further from there, he noticed two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee and his brother John in the boat with their father Zebedee, the old sons of thunder. There they were. It says they were mending their nets, and he called them to follow him as his disciples. What is the next word? Immediately, they left their boat and their father, and they followed him, becoming his disciples, believing and trusting in him, and following his example. We have an account of four men right from the get-go. He grabs two more, and the Bible says that both of those sets of men, those four men, dropped what they were doing, and they said, we're going to follow you. And here's the thing. When they said that they began to follow him, it wasn't like, hey, Jesus, where's James and John? Well, I don't know. Sometimes I see them, and sometimes I don't. No. When they began to follow Jesus, they followed him day and night. Where he went, they went. Amen. Whether you realize this or not, your level of submission to leadership is a direct reflection of your level of submission to Jesus. Okay, turn it off. No, I'm serious. It is a direct reflection of whether you are submitted to the Lord. Because if I'm submitted to the Lord, I know He has placed men and women in my life that I can submit to them and follow them as well, because I can trust them. You see, there wasn't any of this stuff with Jesus. Like, I don't know. You know, you seem kind of sketchy. You know, these dead people come to life. That's a little sketchy. I don't know if I can follow that. No, they had determined in their hearts at that moment, and I think it would do all of us some good to determine, hey, where I am at, I can trust the leadership. I am submitted to You, Lord, and You have placed me here, and so I'm going to be submitted in all areas and walks of my life. My wife pointed this out to me the other day, and she was reading a book, and I may have shared this on a Sunday, I don't know, but do you ever see any sheep out in a pasture that they pick their shepherd? I'm picking where I'm going. No, the shepherd come and said, here. You don't pick that. God picks that for you. And if that's what He's done, bottom line, you're not going to agree with everything I say. You're not going to agree with everything that Dole says. It's how it's going to be. But I have to know that He has my best interest at heart. And even though there may be some disagreements on some things, but that we are for the common good of one another, and we're going to see this thing through, and we're not going to allow the spirit of dissension to come in between us and try to thwart what God is doing. Dory, has it been hunky-dory between you and I the last year? Well, it hasn't. He's the accuser of the brethren. Do you not think, and especially when Jesus was crucified, did they not start to second guess and to doubt what was going on? Matter of fact, Peter did to such an extent that he said, look, I'm out. Your discipleship is always going to be tested. And the Lord, and it's so funny, things Dole said was some things that were in discipleship class this morning. Because that's what God does. But there's going to be some testing, and there's going to be some trying of your faith. And what the devil's going to try to do is to get you to disconnect from the very place and the very family of God that you're supposed to be connected to. They were tested and they were tried. Just these four men alone, do you not think that the scribes and the Pharisees, whom everybody thought was all that in a bag of chips, because who were these men? Were these Jews? They were, weren't they? They were Jews. Don't think the scribes and the Pharisees come to him and said, that dude you're following, he's as whack as they come. His teachings are false. Everything about him is false. You can't believe a word that comes out of his mouth. Do we believe that happened, or do we see that happened? What are you doing healing on this day? What are you doing it this way? They weren't just challenging Jesus, but they were challenging everyone that was following Jesus. So we have to know, fellowship, and it probably isn't even a word, but it's fellowship. It's important. It's important. I believe this morning. I believe that there's some that are going to have a made-up mind after this morning, that you've been kind of like, I've been double-minded, man's unstable in all these ways. You need to have your made-up mind, I'm staying or I'm going. You need to have good follow. You need to say, I'm following no matter what. Well, I'm not following no man. I'm following Jesus. I get that. But you know what Jesus does? Is He places people in your life that you can trust, that you can follow as you follow Him. Because Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Is that not what he said? Follow me as I follow Christ. Well, now I could follow that man. You wouldn't want to follow that man around anywhere back in that day. You'd have had a couple of days of that, and you'd been like, look, this dude right here, you know, he's going to get me killed. He would have. Yeah. The things that Timothy was able to do, because from a very young age he started to follow Paul. And it wasn't a popular thing. We got this whole thing now, spiritual dad here, spiritual dad there, and we want to connect it to some big figure or some, you know, well-known person. For what reason? So we can get a platform. Well, it wasn't rolling that way back then. You're following Paul, you're like, what am I doing? What am I doing? So number one, fellowship. Are we communicating? All right, number two. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to John chapter 6, starting with verse 60. John chapter 6, starting with verse 60. Hallelujah. When many of his disciples heard this, they said, "This is a difficult and harsh and offensive statement." I don't know about you, but my belief was when Jesus spoke, it was like, I believe in you just going to do great things, yada, yada, yada. They said, "Oh, my word, what just come out of his mouth? I don't know if I can hang on to what he just said." And they said, "Who can be expected to listen to it?" Come on. But Jesus, aware that his disciples were complaining about it, asked them, "Does this cause you to stumble and take offense? What then will you think if you see the Son of Man ascending to the realm where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh conveys no benefit. It is of no account. The words I've spoken to you are spirit and life, providing eternal life. But still there are some of you who do not believe and have faith. For Jesus knew from the beginning who did not believe and who would betray him. And he was saying, 'This is the reason why I've told you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him. That is, unless he is unable to do so by the Father.' As a result of this, many of his disciples abandoned him and no longer walked with him." So number two, it is a matter of choice, and it's your choice. What do you mean? Make sense of that. We kind of look at the disciples of kind of like they were locked in or they were hemmed into something. Myself or anyone else, Ron, we can't manipulate you in to following us. Now, if we do that, that's cultish. And it's nothing more than witchcraft. And so you're going to be in a world of hurt right from the get-go. There's nothing I can do to get you to follow, or Dole or Ron or Kevin to get you to follow the teachings and the things that we do. It's a choice that comes from you. Becoming a disciple of Jesus Christ is nothing more than you determined that's what you were going to do. You were created to freely worship God. The beautiful thing about worshiping God is I wasn't forced to. God didn't make me. There's no one, got a knife in my back forcing me up there to do it. It's a choice that I make within myself to do so. And the beauty of walking this thing out as a true disciple of Christ, someone who is probably going to endure some hardships, they're going to go through some things, they're going to be faced with some trials, is that they choose to do it. I don't know if someone sang it, but it was, you've chose me, I choose you. I'm making a conscious effort to choose you. Because sometimes we think of discipleship as whether it be a work situation or maybe how it was when you were in school and you had to go. Mom and dad made you go. But I believe this morning. I believe some people are looking for someone to sort of coax them along, kind of force you into discipleship. I got to have somebody there kind of giving me that nudge along. It's merely a choice on your behalf. And Jesus was putting a test out there. I'm going to separate the wheats and the tares right here. I'm going to give a hard, offensive statement. I'm going to give a difficult statement, and I'm going to see who's going to follow it. And some chose to walk away. I prophesy to you that difficult times will come. Offenses will come. But if you will stick it out, if you will endure to the end, if you will go through the tough seasons and the winter seasons of the soul, if you'll go through the wilderness seasons, if you will just walk that out, Because humans are notorious for quitting right at the place of breakthrough. Do you want to know why there's people in the NFL and the NBA? You want to know what's the difference between those young men? Is when everybody else quit, they kept going. We read about Michael Jordan that he didn't even get picked on his high school team. He didn't even get to play. But I'm not going to allow that to stop me. And probably the very thing that God wants to use you in a very dynamic and powerful way, you're being fought the hardest in. God don't bring sickness up on you. And He don't make you bankrupt. He don't do all these things to you. But what He will do is He will allow those things to show you what's in your heart. What means the most? Bill was talking about it this morning. Is it a platform? What are you striving for? Because I've been there. What are you striving for? Is it a platform? Is it to do something great in God? If your desire to do something great in God is greater than worshiping a great God, you're in trouble. You're in shipwreck. Think about that. All right. If you don't become a disciple of Christ, it's nobody's fault but yours. If you're not on fire, you can't blame me. If you're not out there trying to learn and to grow in Christ, you can't blame nobody but yourself. I don't know why, but I feel like that is speaking to someone. Because we have this spirit, this entitlement spirit. And there's somebody in here that you believed everything that's went wrong, and where you are now, you've blamed it on somebody else. There's somebody in here. You have blamed it on everybody else. I couldn't do this because. I can't be this because. Stop it. I can do all things through Christ. I'm not saying there's not going to be roadblocks and there's not going to be barriers that's put up. We all face those. We get into this place that my life's been harder than someone else's, and because so, then I can just be weak and pitiful and powerful. Are you going to tell me that God give His best gift to you and you're going to be able to look Him in the eye and say, I couldn't do it because it wasn't good enough. I couldn't do it because my situations and my circumstances was too difficult and I couldn't follow through. Some of the most powerful and mighty men and women of God come from some of the most lowly backgrounds that we've ever seen. They've been abused from day one, but yet they chose to rise above it. There's nothing you can do to rise above it, but when I allow the very cross, the very sacrifice that was made for me so to empower me, I can rise above situations and circumstances. I can become a disciple of Jesus Christ. I can be who He has called me to be. It's your choice. I'm freeing you from blame. You no longer can blame anybody. You heard it this morning. Why don't you blame Jesus for allowing you to succeed? Wow. Number 3, Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. I might get stay there all morning. Matthew 16, 24. Then Jesus said to His disciples, if anyone wishes to follow Me as My disciple, he must what? Deny himself. Oh. I don't know about you, but I've always looked at this scripture and said, oh my word. I don't want to get on a cross. But getting on the cross isn't the difficult part. Jesus didn't say get on the cross first. He said deny yourself first. He said deny yourself. And I love this. What the Spirit was saying this morning is get rid of the gifting. Don't worry about the gifting. Don't worry about the call that's on your life. Don't worry about these places that God has taken. Just deny those things. Because here's the deal. What's the problem with having those things? It's what we're worshiping. We're worshiping, let me make sure I word this right. We're worshiping the gifts from God instead of worshiping the God of the gifts. I want this. I'm like, God, you know, ask me how I know. I'll take you in my closet. And we got tea. I probably got a pair of pants with that one on it. That was my whole bane. I love, in Killing Kryptonite, I love what John Bevere said, that he was locked in pornography. He even got married, thought that would do it. He was locked in pornography. He was in full-time ministry. He was locked in pornography. He even asked Lester Sumrall to lay hands on him so he could be delivered from pornography. Still nothing happened. He said, but the only time, when it finally changed, is when I wanted to be right so that I could do great ministry. That's why I was wanting free, is so I could be great in ministry and do things in front of the people. But when I determined that I was hurting the heart of God and that I was breaking His heart because I was locked in sin, and I said, God, deliver me from it because I don't want to hurt you anymore, that's when He got delivered from those devils. Why are you here? Why are you serving? Why are you waking up in the morning? I can remember I would wake up and it was just like I was just praying, just so, you know, great ministry. Oh, let's go here. Let's travel there. Deny, self-denial. We live in a day and age where we don't have to deny ourselves anything. And the reason you're so depressed is you don't have everything Hollywood has. We've allowed Hollywood to set out the American dream and the American standard. And they've got everything. And they're shooting their brains out and committing adultery on their spouses and doing all kinds of heinous stuff. We want to be like them. Come on. If He's asking you to sacrifice it, sacrifice it. It's the rich young ruler. That's where we're at. I feel like that's the stage that we're at right now. God, in this house specifically, God is saying, let go of all of it. Are you going to say, I'm willing to do that to follow you, or I can't? I've got much possessions. I've got to hang on to them. The rich young, he had so much, but if he would only known the very heart of God and the principles of God, that if he would have gave away all the stuff he had, not only would more of that come back to him, but he would have had the golden opportunity to follow Jesus. Nothing trumps that. Nothing trumps becoming a disciple of Christ. Because I promise you, if that's where you have gotten, that you're going to be a true worshiper of Him and a true follower of Him, you're going to be satisfied in your life. It's the hard things. Why did you tell me to deny myself first, Jesus? Just tell me, get me on the cross. I'll prove it to you. Do you want to know what the most difficult point of Jesus' time was as far as the whole process of the crucifixion? It was in the Garden of Gethsemane. Once they put him on, you're there. It's getting there. It's getting there. The oil press, Gethsemane. I was telling them in discipleship class this morning that powder that women use on their faces, it says contrite, which means it's been crushed so fine. And he draw near to him with a contrite heart. I'm near those with a broken and contrite heart. You got to allow that process to take place. You got to allow him to grind you to bits, if that's what it is. Just like choosing to follow Jesus, I have to choose to deny myself. The Holy Spirit don't just jump in me and say, oh, I'm denying myself now. Holy Spirit's doing this for me. See? Don't work that way. I'm not trying to be funny. Doesn't work that way. I have to choose. Tomorrow you'll be faced with an opportunity to deny yourself. Probably today, before the day's out, you'll be faced with an opportunity to deny yourself. It's a choice. A choice to follow. A choice to worship Him. A choice to deny yourself. And take up His cross. A.W. Tozer said, if you see a man going down the road with a cross on his back, you know one thing about that man. You won't see him again. Because wherever that road ends, they're going to put him up on it, and that's where he's going to die. I'm following Jesus. He got up on one. I can't carry yours. That's what's happened a lot in the church, is the leaders are carrying the crosses for the people. Let's keep them out of trouble. Let's keep them happy. Best thing I could do for you this morning is tell you to get your own cross and pick it up and follow me. We're trying to get out of it. I don't know who I'm speaking to, but I'm speaking to somebody. It says, take up his cross. It says, expressing a willingness to endure whatever may come. That's the Amplified. Let's just word it this way. Here's what picking up a cross is. Nobody's telling you to get on one and walk around with it. But here's what, I'm expressing a willingness that I'm going to endure whatever comes my way for you. Whatever it may be. He says, he picks up that cross and follow me, believing in me, conforming to my example in living, and if need be, I think we shared this in discipleship, suffering or perhaps dying because of faith in me. That's what it meant to follow Jesus. This is what the Amplified says. Believing in me, conforming to my example in living, and if need be, perhaps dying because of faith in me. Come on. Has God dealt with anybody about their own mortality in here before? Man, I wrestled with that one for months. It's no fun. But standing before you, I'm just a dead man preaching. Come on. None of us is going to get out of here alive. I'd rather go out for him in his style than my own. I could have went out in a car crash. Should have. Or an overdose. That movie, I think is it on Netflix or Pureflix? And I don't know if it's the Apostle Peter or Peter the Apostle. Watch it. But the whole thing, he converts in this movie. He converts the Roman guards that have charge over him. And even to such a point, the one says, I'm going to get you out of here. I'm going to get you out of here. Because your teachings, who you are, it needs to continue on. You don't need to die. He said, don't you know what they're going to do? They're going to crucify you. And finally at the end, he said, you can't do that to me. It's been too long since I've seen it. And that's where I long to be. Don't deny me this moment. Because it's what Jesus spoke over my life. And these things must be fulfilled. Oh, to have some men and women that believe that way. Deny yourself. Number four, Luke 14:31. I'll tell you 31 or 33, Gabe. 31 through 33. Make sure. Let's just look at 33. I'm sorry, Luke 14:33. It's in red. So then, none of you can be my disciple who does not carefully consider the cost, and then for my sake, give up all his own possessions or I think the King James says, forsaking all that he has. Does anybody have the title or the deed to something they own? Raise your hand. Does anybody have a title or deed to something they own? You don't. You don't own it. You don't own it. You think you do. And then forget, I've got that right and had the title. It's like, I've actually got the title of something, the Lord. No, you don't. You don't own anything. I don't take ownership over anything. Anything that will not endure the fire, I don't want anymore. What does it mean? We believe this, that he asked us to forsake these things and to let these things go. We act like it's a hard thing, but the bottom line is it's for our good, and it has no eternal value. It carries no eternal weight. None whatsoever. We want to hang on to those things. Let's think about something. Let's think about the book of Acts. And it says they just come all in together, and they just gave all their possessions, and they shared the common good. There was no need. Do you know the church was self-sufficient? They didn't. They wanted Jesus to free them from the Roman grip, right? He wanted, and he actually did. Because he said, if you guys will band together and come in and just throw everything you got, you won't need anything from them. You won't need anything from them. But I believe that was also a test of saying, we're coming to you and we're forsaking everything else. It's not my house. It's not my car. It's not my bank account. Well, but you don't understand. I got $100,000 in mine. Well, that's awesome. That's beautiful. Come and give it to the church, and it'll probably be a million before you know it. They forsook. Well, you come to me, you have to forsake all things. I know as a leader, I have saw individuals who had great potential, but they couldn't let go of that unhealthy relationship. They couldn't let go of that job. They couldn't let go of the status that they had in the community to follow him. If anybody, I think Paul speaks of, if anybody had things to give up, it was him, because he gave the whole long list, didn't he? Gamaliel, I've sit under him. The Hebrew of Hebrews. I've got the greatest of education. Back then, education was everything. If you had been taught by one of these teachers, you were at the apex of everything. All of his status, all of his stature, everything that he had accomplished thus far, he said, you know, to win him and to know him and to be found in him, it's all done. It's all trash. It doesn't mean anything. Number 5. John 13:34. We still want to be disciples. Amen? I'm giving you a new commandment, Jesus said, that you love one another just as I have loved you, so you too are to love one another. So Jesus said, love one another. How? How? Because I've loved you, now you can love one another. I think one of the greatest attacks on the body of Christ is a lack or a misunderstanding of the love of God that has been extended towards us. Love thy neighbor as thyself. If you hate you, you hate everybody else. No, 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 I love other people. It's just me I can't stand. You might be loving them with a certain kind of love, but not the love of God, not that agape. Probably a worldly kind of love, but not the love of God. And when Jesus spoke this, what kind of love do you think he was talking about? Yeah. No matter what they do to you, no matter what they say to you, what is one of the, why are we not powerful? Why are we not together? Why are we not united? Why are there no miracles in our midst? His love's not in our midst. His love is what does all these things. And we don't love one another. The world sees it. And they don't want to be a part of what we're doing. Can I word it this way, Lord? I believe the church is an oxymoron. Why? Because Jesus done certain things and we don't do them. The Bible said this is who we are and what we would offer, and we don't got it. So to claim to be something and you don't even offer what you claim to be. I'm not taking a swipe at anybody, but we have denominations that say Pentecostal and holiness on it. And there ain't no Pentecostal or holiness in it. I mean, I can deal with the holiness part, but at least get in there and act crazy and talk in tongues and do flips or do something. Do one of those things. I don't know who I'm speaking to here, but the very attack that is on you right now is there has been an attack on you from a very young age that nobody loved you, and maybe it was a father, maybe a father that didn't love you or someone didn't love you, so that it would distort and taint and get rid of the view that you should have of who God is. Is he a God of holiness? Yes, he is. Is he a God of righteousness? Yes, he is. Does he hate sin? Yes, he does. But as far as you are concerned, he died for you. He loved you so much, he died for you. And let's look at Father God. He loved you so much that he parted. He parted with part of him so that you need a revelation of how much he loved you, how much he still loves you. Disciples know how to love. They don't take offense at everything. They don't walk around with a chip on their shoulder. Hey, I love you. That's a tough thing. That's a tough thing. And somebody wreck you over the coals a few times. It's a tough thing. It's a hard thing. This isn't supposed to be easy. All right, we're about to come out of here. 1 John, number 6. 1 John, chapter 2. 1 John, chapter 2, starting with verse 3. Won't be here much longer. We started late. Lord did that. Jesus did that. You want the full message. Not much longer. 1 John 2, starting with verse 3 through 6. And this is how we know daily by experience. Somebody say daily. This is how we know daily by experience that we have come to know him. We have come to know him. Well, I'm not so much interested in that. He knows all about me. He does. But it would probably serve you well to know some things about him. It would serve you well. How about this? I've said this many times that you were created to worship God. How about this? You were created to know God. You were created to know God. Okay? And here's what it said. To understand him and be more deeply acquainted with him. Hallelujah. Wisdom and knowledge in the revelation of him. Wisdom and knowledge in the revelation of him. To understand him and be more deeply acquainted with him. It says this. Here's how you do it. If we habitually, hallelujah, habit. It's good to make some habits out of some things with God. To be habitual about it. If we habitually keep focused on his precepts and obey his commandments or teachings. Hallelujah. That's how it says that we know him. Okay? This is disciples here. It says, whoever says, I've come to know him, but does not habitually keep. Again, there's that whole oxymoron thing. I know God. What is your prayer and devotional life? Well, look, you know, I pray over my food. I mean, are you spending any time with, you know, he knows all about me. I don't need, no, you need to know him. It goes back to this whole love thing. Once you have a revelation of how much he loves you, then I can't help but to spend time with him and pour my love back on him. Right? He says, but habitually keep focused on his precepts and obey his commandments, his teachings is a lie. That'd be good to get up behind the pulpit. I've been bold before, but I don't think I've ever done that one. And the truth of the divine word is not in him. But whoever habitually keeps his word and obeys his precepts and treasures his message in its entirety. Come on. This is the whole meaning of disciple, right? Right? In him, the love of God has truly been perfected. It is completed and has reached maturity. Now listen. John's still speaking. By this we know for certain that we are in him. Right? So it's not just important enough to know him, but to be in him. Because Paul said, I want to be found in him. Didn't he? To know him and to be found in him. Okay? There's a difference. It says, whoever says he lives in Christ, that is, whoever says he has accepted him as God and Savior, ought as a moral obligation to walk and conduct himself just as he walked and conducted himself. How do we know him? We keep those commandments. We follow the word. Right? How are we found in him? We demonstrate that. We become like him. His conduct. I used to say that. People would get so mad at me. Well, is it okay if I drink? Is it okay if I smoke? Is it okay if I do this and I do that? And I'm like, well, here's the only answer I can give you. Is any of that cussing? Is any of that in heaven? Did Jesus demonstrate any of that? This ain't up for debate for me to kind of beat you over the head with some sort of truth or whatever. What did this say? Who is he? I can't come up with some standard that some holiness preacher gave 60 or 70 years ago that this was okay or that was okay. Why become disciples? Why become disciples? Because you are a demonstration. You are a walking out of the word and who Jesus is before people. That's why. So that they would want to follow you or follow him because of your example that's been set before him. And so, gifting comes easy. It comes from him. But now, the anointing and walking this out and to know him and to be known in him, it's another whole ball of wax. Are we communicating? Tony was singing, oh, that our character would match our gifting. Oh, that our character would match our gifting. The gifting's the easy part. It's the easy part. But we have founded the church, modern day church, on gifting and gifting alone. If someone can do some great thing or preach some great message or flow in some great way, then we've deemed them right. We need to follow them. It runs deeper than that. What does the prayer life look like? What does the history on the cell phone or the internet look like? Because I don't know what all you're looking at, but God does. And I'm about to close. Number 7, finally. So, we know that number 1 was what? Our fellowship. Number 2 is that it's your choice. Number 3, deny yourself. Number 4, forsake all. Number 5, love one another. Number 6, know Him. Right? And be in Him, be found in Him. Number 7, I close with this. Matthew chapter 28. Verse 19 through 20. Go therefore and make disciples. Okay. All right. Look at that. But can I duplicate anything I'm not? Can I duplicate anything I'm not? Jesus was given a commission to who? His disciples. Because of how you followed me and the way that you've walked with me, your fellowship, your love for one another, you've denied yourself, you've picked up your cross, you've done all these things. Now, I deem, here's the thing, I can't look at you and deem you a disciple. Only the Lord can determine whether you're a disciple or not. Jesus determined they were disciples. He says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. Help the people to learn of me, believe in me, and obey my words. Again, if you haven't learned of him, if you're a know-it-all, you're not teachable. If you're not walking this out, if you're not living by the word the way that you should, you can't help anybody else, right? Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe everything that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always. And that means I am remaining with you perpetually, regardless of circumstance, and on every occasion, even to the end of the age. Prove it. Who was our first martyr? Stephen. Ron, it didn't seem like that was as bad of experience with Jesus as I thought it would be. Because the rocks are flying at every part of the body. He says, all I can see is Jesus. Standing at the right hand. Jesus said, I'm going to follow you to your last breath. You take your last breath, you step over into eternity, guess who else is there? Well, I believe there's an angel that's going to take me. I'm not going to sit and argue with you, but if he promised me he was going to be there, then he's going to be there. All those things, finally, make disciples. This whole idea and belief that I'm just coming to get mine and I need to get filled up, and you are so off. In your very being, the very fiber of your being says, I want to become a disciple and I want to make disciples. That's the word of God. It's not sit on a pew and blah, blah, blah. Everybody. Peter hadn't had it figured. He didn't have it figured out. He tripped up.
Thank you, Lord.
How about this? How about we see Peter tripping up in the garden? Don't cut his ear off. You're supposed to be my disciple. We already see him start to trip up. And when the rubber met the road and when the time come and his discipleship was tested, he faltered. Jesus tried to tell him all along, Peter, you don't know. You're not where you think you are. I mean, Peter done some great things, but he got called Satan. Sometimes in order to know how to succeed, you got to fail. And I'm speaking to that right now. There's some of you that don't even think you're capable or worthy of being a disciple. But I believe Peter had to hit rock bottom, so to speak, to figure out. And you heard me say this. You heard me say this. In his worst time, he's backslidden. He's on a boat. He's back to fishing again. And at his worst, Jesus was still. I'm with you all the way. I'm with you when you've come up short. I'm with you when you have some successes. So let me say it this way. Becoming a disciple is not about getting it right all the time. It's not. I'm not giving you a license to fail or to come up short. But it's not about... You listen. You're going to trip up sometimes. You're going to. But it's about to get back up. I'm telling you, get back up. Can you imagine what was going through Peter's mind? Here I am stuck on this daggone boat. I'm not catching anything because it took him to put his hand in the water and tell me where to cast so I could even catch anything. So I'm stuck fishing and I can't catch anything. And I don't really want to do this anyway because he told me right from the get-go to be a fisher of men. And now I'm not even doing that. What's going on here? What's going on? You've heard me say this. Peter's got his hands by the fire. I don't know, man. But he looks on the shore. And there's Jesus. Hands by the fire. Come on. You are my disciple. You will carry this gospel to Jesus. Up on this rock. I will be. You are a disciple. Every one of the sound of you are a disciple. Not everybody will go to the nations, but you will. Share the truths and the love and the gospel of power that Jesus saves, no matter what. Background, ethnicity, no matter what your failures, you will. Say this, I am a disciple of Jesus Christ.